snap is to Dalton. He sets up a lot of pressure, throws it deep downfield. Touchdown. Great catch on the run by Marvin Jones. 29 on the pass play, and a great throw and a great catch. McAfee, snap, puts it down. Adams' kick is on the way. It looks no good. He had a string of 11 straight, but this is tough. They're going to give it off to Green. Addison, I don't know. Did he get there? I don't think so. He did not. He did not get in. What a great goal line stand by the Colts. Now, they may challenge this.
After review, the ruling on the field is reversed. The runner is not cut, and it's five into the end zone. It is a touchdown.
So there's the devastation part of it. It's now 13-0. Green Ellis is the tailback, gets the handoff, and gets in. 20-0 Bengals. Snap is for Luck again. Throws over the middle, caught by Derrick Rogers. 40, he may go. 50, 40, he can run. 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Colts. 69-yard pass play on the first third down conversion of the afternoon, and the Colts are on the board at 21-6. Snap is for Luck. Andrew throws one over the middle. It is caught, and it's Brazil, and LeBron gets to the 10, breaks the tackle. 5, touchdown. LeBron Brazil, much as he did in Detroit last year with a great touchdown, his second career. Look, there are four Bengals on the ground. They broke tackles on the way to the end zone. Great play. The Colts go 48 yards in three plays. He will give it off to Bernard. No, he's going to throw it in the end zone. Touchdown. Gresham catches the ball on the far side. Great play action fake by Andy Dalton, and the Bengals lead it again. Dalton's going to throw quickly. The fade. Touchdown. A.J. Green all day long. Luck up down by three touchdowns. Drops to throw again. He's going to throw one. Home run intended for Brazil. LeBron's got it. His second of the day. Nice throw. A 29-yarder from Andrew Luck to LeBron Brazil. Dalton under center again. Giovanni Bernard is the tailback, but Dalton's going to roll out right. He's going to run it, and he's going to walk right into the end zone. That shuts the door. It is now official. The final score, the Cincinnati Bengals 42, the Indianapolis Colts 28.
I'm really, really proud of this football team, this coaching staff, this organization.
These guys have no quit. They bounce back.
10, 5, touchdown!
We set a foundation from day one that we are going to stick with the process.
Got it! 73-yard pass play!
We've got the very best fans in the National Football League.
And the Colts are going to win the ball game.
Welcome to Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. Presented each week by Citizens Energy Group. Now live from the Taco Bell studio, here's the voice of the Colts, Bob Lamy.
Welcome to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano. I think we've all finally warmed up after that little encounter with the weather yesterday, but get used to it. Because if the Colts are fortunate enough to win their first game, they're going to wind up going either to Denver, New England, somewhere else where it'll be cold. So this was a prelude to all of that. And while the score does not look impressive, a couple of things were yesterday. Number one, this team did not quit. They kept fighting all the way to the end and made it a very close game. They fought off a lot of different things. You heard the highlight there, the play at the goal line. In fact, the runner was touched, but that's neither here nor there. That's ancient history. The Colts have to move on from that. The real big pluses, the emergence of Derrick Rogers and the return to form of LeVon Brazil. Both of them had two touchdowns yesterday. They caught balls for over 160 yards, and Andrew Luck was unbelievable. He threw four touchdowns, no picks. The O-line and running back kept him clean all day. Did take a couple of hits, but no sacks. The Colts did not turn the football over and did not have a play from scrimmage that lost yards, either a run or a pass. That's a first for the year. The one string that was broken, it's the first time this year the Colts' defense hasn't come up with a sack. And in the end, it was 42-28. And now you reverse and go back, and the focus is all on Houston. The Texans will come in here with a brand-new coach. They come in with an 11-game losing streak. We all know they're a better football team than that. So we'll see which team shows up for both clubs. The Colts have to come back and get right back on track. Now, during this show, we're going to give away Subway's prize packages to the first five callers to the show. Call the Verizon hotline at 317-639-COLT, Colt. And during the second half hour of the show, we'll be visiting with Game Day radio analyst Jim Sorgi on the Verizon hotline as well. Verizon is a proud sponsor of the Colts, and Jim will share his thoughts on the game and look at Houston coming up next week. Coach Pagano will join us in the next segment. We'll take your social media questions, and we'll talk about last night, and we'll talk about the Houston game as well. You can still submit your questions to Coach for tonight or future shows. Log on to Facebook.com/Colts or tweet the show directly at Pagano Show. We'll be back with Coach in just a moment. You're listening to the Colts Monday Night Show with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.
Welcome back to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Proud to be the Colts conservation partner. Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com. Colts football is also brought to you by Papa John's. When the Colts win, you win. Get 50% off your regular menu price online order the day after the Colts win. Log on to papajohns.com and enter promo code COLTS50. And be sure to manage your energy bills by taking advantage of cash rebates on high-efficiency appliances from Veterans Conservation Connection. Learn more about the rebates available at Vectren.com. Vectren, live smart.
Welcome back to Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Now, here's Bob Lamy from the Taco Bell studio.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome, Chuck. And this is the part of the show where we recap the game with the coach with yesterday. And we'll also answer social media questions. Chuck will from the Colts Fan from the McDonald's social media inbox. Fans can submit their questions through Facebook.com/Colts, or they can tweet the show directly. Game didn't turn out the way we wanted yesterday. Great second half effort. And even though the team came up a little short, seemed like there were an awful lot of positives yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And one thing we know about this group of men, you know, in that locker room is they're going to fight till the bitter end. There's no quit in this football team, and never has been. There never will be. They're going to fight you tooth and nail. Like you said, there's always some positives you can take from every ball game, and certainly we had some young guys, you know, step up and make some huge plays in the second half. You talk about, you know, coming back and scoring some touchdowns and getting to a, you know, one score game at 21-14, and you know, Derek Rogers and Levon Brazil, you know, stepping up and you know, four touchdowns, you know, between the two guys, and you know, over 100 yards for Derek. And you know, it was great to see, because you know, as thin as we are at that position, as young as we are, to have a couple guys, you know, step up and do that, and you know, the play of the defense, you know, in the first half, and you know, all those things, and you know, got off the field a couple times in the second half and gave us a chance again to make it a one-score game. But again, we had our chances, and a lot of things played into that deal. But again, we're you know, we're excited. As you know, we're the only team in the National Football League that got caps, you know, today when guys showed up, and only team that's you know, clinched their division to this point. And Bob, it's our first goal on the goal sheet, you know, every year, and is to win the division, because that's the easiest way to, you know, get into playoffs, number one. And they've won it for so many times for long periods of time, you know, through the years here, and we wanted to take back the South, and we've got that in the bank now, and now we move forward.
The way the game went, it kind of dictated how much you can run. But people have been waiting for Trent to have a good ball game. I thought he had one yesterday. He had 80 plus yards receiving and rushing. Anywhere you can get to 100 or close to it is pretty good.
No question. And, you know, it was good to see, you know, Trent, you know, have some positive things happen, you know, and you know, whether it was running, you know, broke a run, you know, outside, and, you know, some check downs here and there, and, you know, keep his balance on the one play. And he runs hard and tough and physical. And so it was really good to, you know, see Trent have some positive things happen.
The quarterback, we don't talk always about him, but yesterday, he was not sacked. So give credit to the O-line. They've been taking enough blame over the weeks. He threw the ball on target most of the time. He completed 63% of his passes. No picks, no fumbles. and only a quarterback rating of 113, which I can't figure out. I don't know what that formula is. But Andrew gets stronger, and if there's any doubt whether he can play in the snow or not, that was quenched yesterday.
No, absolutely. And he managed that ball game extremely well. And like you said, made a bunch of plays for us, not only with his arm, but again with with his legs. And, got to keep talking to him about, when to run out of bounds and to slide and all those things. But he had an excellent outing. And again, cold weather, indoors, outdoors, the guy is, he's a football player. We know that. And it was good to see, those young guys make some plays for him too, from a continuity standpoint and a trust standpoint and all those things moving forward. And with this next ball game coming up and finish out the regular season and going into playoffs, it'll pay dividends.
Special teams, Adam missed a field goal, but the wind was it was a difficult day yesterday. Did a pretty good job until late in the second half on holding the returns down again.
No, I mean, until the basically the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. they were humming. They did a great job, and Pat was kicking the ball well. And like you said, a rare miss for Adam. I mean, again, it was a tough day, wind swirl and all those things. He'd never tell you that, because right. He expects to be 100% all the time. But special teams, they're late. We had a few balls, get out and create some return yards, giving up and things like that. But for the most part, they controlled, did a great job with field position early.
I'm not sure how he does it, but Sergio Brown continues to get those punts inside the 5-yard line. And that one that he got yesterday, that was a line drive. That was a tough one to knock down.
Yeah, no, he does a great job. Obviously, a big, fast, physical guy that, doesn't matter, whether you double him or single him, he's gonna beat the vice and get down the field and make a play for us.
Okay, I want to keep your money right where it is in your back pocket, and the league doesn't deserve it. They're not going to get anything. From a momentum standpoint, and only a momentum standpoint, you have for 10 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it was, you've stopped them at the 1-yard line, you're getting off the field, it's 7-0, you're going to the half, and then all of a sudden it's 14. Emotionally, the momentum swing, how much can that affect a team like that?
Well, it's major. It's huge. I mean, you could see it, as soon as those guys, they called that, the runner down and the guys, the emotions of that defense, anytime you have a goal line, mm-hmm. Stop and you stop somebody at the 1-yard line. I mean, it's a huge momentum swing and a huge boost for the defense and the whole team. And to be able to, go in at halftime, down 7, on the road, hostile environment, in the elements, all those things, and only be down a touchdown, you're the emotion, the mindset, everything's totally different, and then all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, you go into a locker room and you're down 14, and it's totally different. So, again, it's something that, you got to come out and play another 30 minutes, which our guys did. But from a momentum standpoint and the emotional part of it and all those things, it definitely plays a factor.
And then along with that comeback you talked about, suddenly it was 21 because they scored on the first drive. And then the next thing you know, it's 21-14. And as you mentioned, a couple of young guys make plays that put you right back in it.
Yeah, you can. And as soon as that happened and we got it to a one-score game at 21-14, the energy level, the excitement level, our guys, because they have done it so many times, Bob, as we all know. And you could just see that belief and that enthusiasm right back you could see in everybody's eyes that we were going to go and get this thing done, but unfortunately it didn't work out.
All right, let's turn to the Pagano Playbook, brought to you by Citizens Energy Group. The unfortunate thing about this game is you do have injuries, and yesterday you lost Chris Rainey, put him on IR. You've picked up Tashard Choice, who's played at Buffalo and Washington and Dallas. He's got some moxie. He's also, from what I understand, a good teammate, and he's run the ball well, 1,500 yards. How soon can you use him, and how do you use him?
Well, again, it's like anything else. You know, he is a veteran guy. He'll bring, you know, veteran, you know, leadership, you know, to the locker room and to that running back room. And, you know, he has carries, you know, in the National Football League. He's got yards. He's got touchdowns. He's got receptions. We do hear that, you know, from, you know, reliable sources that he's a good guy, really good guy, good team guy, wants to win, hard worker, all those things, has character. And so, you know, as quick as we can get him in here and get him up to speed, you know, he plays special teams. He does that stuff. So, you know, certainly he'll lend a hand in that department. But, you know, we'll, Coach Walker and the guys will get with him and get him up to speed. And as soon as he does, I mean, shoot, we got Trent in here on a, I don't know what it was, Tuesday or Wednesday, and he played Sunday against the Niners, so I'm sure we'll find a role for him as quick as possible.
All right. That, of course, was the Pagano Playbook presented by Citizens Energy Group. Make conservation tips a part of your playbook. Visit citizensenergygroup.com for helpful tips. Now we go to the McDonald's Inbox, presented by McDonald's Big Mac, the official burger of the Colts. It's the McDonald's Inbox where you fans can tweet the show and ask Coach Pagano questions. Fans can tweet the questions now for today or even next week at Pagano Show. Right now, do it, or future shows coming right up. Let's start with Austin Fletcher from Indianapolis. Have Derek Rogers and LaVon Brazil earned more playing time after yesterday?
Yeah, that's a great question and obvious answer. Yeah, they have. And again, with only four receivers, you know, on the 53-man roster at this point, and what they went out and did yesterday, the production that they had, and both guys got, you know, made huge plays for us. We knew they had playmaking ability, and they just needed opportunities, and you know, they took advantage of those opportunities and really helped us get back in that ball game. And so, you know, moving forward, we looked, you know, for more production and more playing time from both those guys.
John Mercer of Indianapolis, why is Sergio Brown so good at downing the ball inside the 10 on punts? I think there's 31 other teams who want to know the same answer.
Yeah, and those 31 other teams have done everything, you know, that you possibly can do within the framework of the rules to try to keep him from doing that. And he's just got a great knack. And he's a big, long, athletic guy that can run. I mean, he's a sub-4.4 guy that's strong, and he can beat the vice. And, you know, him and Pat have a certain chemistry going right now. Pat does a great job, you know, especially in those pooch punt scenarios, placing the ball and putting it exactly where, you know, Sergio, you know, can get that thing and down it. And again, he's done a great job for us all year. And again, two more yesterday was phenomenal.
And the play he made a week ago with a club on his hand, basically, when Chris fumbled it and he took it and got out of bounds because he knew if he gets hit, he might not be able to hold on to it.
He loves his job. He loves his craft. He loves his role in this team. And the guy plays really fast, and he's aware, and he has instincts. And again, he was at the right place at the right time, and just instinctively, you know, made a great play there also.
All right, we've touched on one of the questions. Marcus Vernon wanted to know, how are you going to use Tashard Choice? We've already talked about that a little bit. Wendy from Boxtown, are you mad at the officials? You can't be mad. You just have to go play, Wendy. Jackson from Indianapolis, is this the most injured football team you've ever been around?
Well, I think we just put number 13, you know, on injured reserve. I think that's where we're at. So, you know, it happens, and injuries are part of the game, and you deal with it, and, you know, it's next man up, and we've got guys that obviously are stepping in, you know, stepping up and stepping in and filling in, and they have to. They have no choice, but this is quite a few, but again, it's part of the game, and, you know, it's something that you have to deal with and overcome.
Chris Rainey's the latest. You know he's on IR. What exactly happened yesterday?
You know, he was, you know, on the last kickoff return that he brought out, he slipped and then got up and got twisted up and actually, you know, had a fracture of a fibula. That's it won't require surgery, but, you know, he's going to be in a boot, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks, you know, so that's why we had to place him on IR.
All right, Paul from Lawrenceburg. You play Kansas City in 2 weeks. How do you handle that game knowing that you're likely to play them in the playoffs 2 weeks hence?
Well, we're going to do whatever we have to do to go win that football game, give ourselves the best opportunity to win that football game, and then we'll deal with the playoffs. If that's the team we're going to play, we'll deal with that when that comes. And we're going to go do what we have to do to win a game, and then if we need to make changes in the second, if we meet them again and make some changes here and there and adjust game plan stuff, then I'm sure they'll do the same thing as we're going to try to do.
Coach, one more question from Bob sitting across the table from you. Houston, 11 straight losses. Coach fired, new coach in. They've never won in Indianapolis. What do you expect from the Texans?
They got a great roster.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of good football players, as you know and everybody else knows. And so these guys are professional players. They understand what's at stake. So I fully expect, and our team fully expects, to get nothing but their best. We're going to have to be on point. We got to worry about us. And I know what, we're counting on them coming in here and trying to win a football game. And so we'll prepare accordingly.
All right. That's the Chuck Pagano portion tonight of the show. You've been listening to Colts Monday Night with Chuck, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan, 97.1 Hank FM. When we come back, we'll have our spotlight player interviews with Rick Rogers and Sergio Brown. Back in just a minute.
This is Colts Monday Night on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light Party Zone at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Bud Light Party Zone is above the north end zone in front of the windows that open to the Indianapolis skyline. Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL. And every morning, Wish TV's Daybreak is a better way to start your day, delivering overnight news, weather, and traffic with the latest updates you need to prepare yourself for your day. Weekday mornings on Wish TV.
Citizens Energy Group proudly presents Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. Let's continue the horseshoe conversation with Bob Lamy from the Taco Bell studio.
Welcome back to Colts Monday Night. You just heard from Chuck Pagano, and interesting questions and interesting answers. The Colts get ready for the second game of the final quarter of the season. The Colts are in. They're the only team with a division championship, and they have a locked up a home game in the first round of the playoffs, and more will be decided, obviously, in the next 3 weeks. Now time to visit with our spotlight players, brought to you by Lightbound. For all your cloud service needs, call Lightbound. Our spotlight players of the week this week, Derek Rogers. We've already talked about the 6 catches, 107 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and the special teams genius, Sergio Brown. Well, we talked with Derek, and of course, this was really the second game he's played, but it's the first game he's gotten significant playing time. And we talked with him about waiting a long time to prove that he can do it in the NFL. How satisfying for him was what happened yesterday?
From a personal standpoint, it was good. It just shows the hard work pays off, continue to do the things that Coach Pagano, preaches to me every day, it's paying off.
The 69-yard touchdown, you break 2 tackles, and you turn around, there's nothing but green grass. What were you thinking then?
I was just thinking, get to the end zone, just like any other play. My goal is to always get to the end zone and get the first down. And, this is part of my game is to play physical, break tackles, and, make the big run.
You and LeVon had big days yesterday. We saw you set a new high jump record when LeVon scored his touchdown. Happy for each other, weren't you?
Most definitely. It just shows, he's in the meetings, early morning right there with me. And it's just exciting to see some of that work pay off and be able to put it on field and put it on tape.
Yesterday against Cincinnati, that's a pretty good defense down there. What you did, that's got to give you a lot of confidence, too.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, there's no such thing as a moral victory, but we have a few things to build on. We're going to build on those this week as we get ready for Houston.
For you, how much fun was it just going out there and getting that first catch?
Oh, it felt good. It was just like, being back in high school or college again. And like I said, it's just like a child's game. It was just good to get back out there and play it.
Practice. People don't understand how important practice is.
Oh, practice is everything. Practice is what got me the chance, to get out and do what I am able to do. And practice is everything.
Andrew Luck. How much can Andrew help you as a receiver?
Oh, he can help me tremendously. I just got done having a conversation with him in the weight room. You know, on and off the field, you know, he's just a great guy. You know, he can help me build my game in a tremendous way.
You mentioned it. You're strong. You're fast. You got a couple of touchdowns. In your mind, where do you need to improve?
Really, you know, just, you know, being accountable, being there for Andrew, and being in the right place at the right time, being on the same page. When he needs me to be somewhere, be there and make the catch.
In your wildest dreams, could you have realized first NFL game, really, you played a little bit the last week, 6 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns in the first game?
I could have dreamed better. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I've been dreaming of this day since I was a kid, you know, so as many times in my head I've gone through it. So it's just fun that I finally get out there and do it.
You've talked a little bit about it, the long, hard work you've put in. People said, well, he can't do this, he can't do that. You kind of proved everybody a little bit wrong yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not really about them, but, you know, it feels good to prove people wrong at the end of the day. You know, I just go in and do the same things that I was doing, you know, since day one, just working hard and, you know, doing the right thing.
People like Ryan Grigson, who gave you a chance, and Coach Pagano, those guys knew you could play, and that had to be a good shot in your back.
Right. And with guys like that behind you and the confidence they had in me to come around and get things in order, and I just appreciated it. You know, I took full advantage of it.
I think you've already done it, but how fast can you forget that and start getting ready for Houston?
It's already forgotten. I mean, we're already here today. The next day, we're getting ready for Houston as we speak.
Yeah, Dayrick and everybody else on the squad throwing that game yesterday with Cincinnati out of their minds and get ready for Houston. The Texans come in here, and you got to keep in mind, not only have they lost 11 straight, they've never won in Indianapolis. So Colts have a couple of things they want to keep going. Their losing streak and the string of straight wins over the Texans here in Indianapolis. Well, Sergio Brown, what a guy he has turned into on special teams for the Colts. He's second on the club in special teams tackles, but his ability to down the ball inside the 5-yard line is uncanny. And it takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of good recognition on the field.
Yeah, I mean, we expect it in our special teams unit. Any of us, when we're going down there, we practice it every day. And if Pat give us the ball, I mean, we definitely we expect it to make the play. That last one was kind of tricky because Pat really boomed it. It wasn't in Pooch area, but I know Pat, and I know Pat got the boom stick. So I was ready for just in case something had happened. I mean, I guess you got to keep playing to the ball, and it was I did what I had to do to get the ball. You know,
you've been playing the last couple of weeks with a big cast on your hand.
Yeah.
It's tough to catch the ball anyway, but with a cast, that play you made against Tennessee when Chris muffed the ball, you picked it up and headed right out of bounds. To me, that's really smart football along with a great play.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was more like a reaction, you know. I saw the ball. I picked it up, and I got what I could before I got out of bounds. It really wasn't nothing to it to me because I've been playing for a couple of years now. We practice things like that, and I mean, you think about stuff like that happening. So you always got to be ready and take advantage of opportunities as they come on the field. Like you said earlier, if I didn't pick it up, I don't know which way the ball would have bounced and things of that stuff. But you know, work hard, and if you're in the right place at the right time, you got to take advantage of the opportunity.
We were talking a little while ago, you make the plays, but you really don't care as long as the team wins.
Yeah.
And right now you're in the playoffs. You're the only team that's clinched the division,
yeah,
through other teams in. But I think you want to win 3 more ball games and get a good seeding.
Yeah, we want to win every ball game we play. I mean, it got a bad taste in our mouth after the last game. It was a big opportunity for us because you never know what's going to happen with other teams. You don't know who's going to lose here, who's going to win here, who's going to be who. So as long as you control your own destiny and win the game that you can, I mean, it's NFL. So if somebody loses, next thing you know, we are 2 seed or even a 1 seed. Who knows? And that's home field advantage. That's a first round bye. That's your guys getting back healthy. That's all these opportunities for you to have a better chance of going for that main goal.
Main goal, of course, is getting to New York in February.
Yeah.
This team, special teams-wise, you seem to be getting better every week. Yeah, there's a play here or there, but this group has come a long way since August in training camp.
Yeah, we really have. I know we got a We got a great group of core guys, and Pat, Vinny, those kickers, they really do a good job and give us the opportunity to go down there and cover those kicks and do good things with that. We got a great coach and Midget and Brant. You know, they player-friendly coaches. You know, they tend to us instead of like having this crazy game plan to have you got to do it this way. They understand that we football players, everybody's different individuals, and they coach you up to your individual strengths, weaknesses, and you know that they really give us a lot of confidence, and they really preach making those big plays and getting the ball. And I gotta give real kudos to them because they've been doing a magnificent job this year.
Sergio, getting on the special teams unit is a way you can make the football team. Mm-hmm. You got a young man out there yesterday who'd never played football. He's a rugby player.
Yeah.
Daniel was out there yesterday, and the ball comes to him, and he got it back, and that was the big thing. How can you guys help him? I know he's such a nice guy, but you got the inside. How do you help him?
I know we talked a lot this week. I was giving him some heads up on the keys he needs to read when he's going down there running on kickoff and things of that sort. You know, just we just keep him in the game and talk to him as much as he can. He's a quick learner. He's a real smart kid and a gifted specimen. I mean, I don't think it's going to be too hard for him to pick up on things. He might get his bell rang once or twice, but that'll help him learn learn a little quicker.
You know, when you get a guy come over like that, the amazing thing to me is how quickly you guys know locker room adopted him and take care of him and help him along the way. That says a lot for this team and this team's locker room.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know how many other this is only my second locker room I have been in, but I don't even know how many other locker rooms would welcome people like that. You know, some locker rooms are more cold. People don't really talk to as much. They take more of a business approach than a family approach that we take. And, you know, we see Adongo over there. He comes in. I mean, we have fun with him. We give him his lashes, but he dishes them right back. And, you know, we really take care of him and want to see him do well. I mean, if you're not in, like, I don't see anybody in, like, with a good heart, like, trying to see him do bad, you know. I mean, he's a good guy, a hell of a rugby player. I mean, I want to see what he can do if he's really get his mind wrapped around his football stuff, because he's a specimen. He's really specimen, and he's a quick learner. So I'm gonna be interested to see how his career goes.
Yeah, Daniel Adongo's career has all the arrows pointing up. Got his first significant playing time yesterday and did some really, really good things. We did have an injury yesterday. Chris Rainey, who is the return guy for the Colts the last couple of weeks, doing a pretty good job. He got hurt yesterday. He's been placed on injured reserve, and the Colts have signed a veteran running back, Tashard Choice. He's played in 85 games with three different teams, Dallas, Washington, and Buffalo. He's rushed in his career for 1,500-plus yards and 10 touchdowns. He has 80 catches for almost 600 yards, and he plays special teams. So he's a guy, and as a matter of fact, Derek Rogers played with him in Buffalo and said he's an outstanding player and loves, I don't know how you underline that anymore, to play in the snow and cold weather. We can use Tashard Choice. All right, we'll continue with more coming up in just a moment. The Colts Monday Night Show with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan and 97.1 Hank FM.
This is Colts Monday Night on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan, brought to you by Meijer, the official supercenter of the Colts, and they'll be hosting special Blue Friday events throughout the season. During every Blue Friday, 24 lucky fans will each win two tickets to the upcoming Colts home game. For more information, visit Colts.com/Blue Friday. And also visit Colts.com to view the most recent features of instant access immediately after every game presented by Exact Target. Exact Target, a Salesforce.com company creating the platform of choice for CMOs.
This is Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Once again, from the Taco Bell studio, here's Bob Lamey, the voice of the Colts.
Welcome back to the Colts Monday Night Show with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM. We're going to be joined very, very shortly by Jim Sorgi on the Verizon Hotline. But first, the drive of the game yesterday. It's always presented by Dreyer and Reinbold. Derek Rogers, his first NFL touchdown, a 69-yard play. It came with 9:57 left in the third quarter.
Andrew empties the backfield. Three receivers right, two to the left. Snap is the luck again. Throws over the middle, caught by Derek Rogers. 40. He may go 50, 40. He can run 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Colts. 69-yard pass play on the first third down conversion of the afternoon, and the Colts are on the board at 21-6.
Well, the Colts kept moving on the board, and they got the team some life and got the lead down to 21-14. And then the bottom kind of fell out, and we're joined by Jim. That touchdown throw to Derek, well, I think we learned a couple of things on that play. One, he is strong. He broke a couple of tackles. And two, once he gets loose, he can run.
For sure. He's strong. He's fast. 6'3", 215 pounds. We knew he had the skill set coming in. We knew it would take a little while to learn the offense and get out there. But really, I mean, he played one play the previous week. He drew a pass interference penalty. Then he comes out yesterday, has 6 catches for over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. He really showed up. I think he really showed what he could do. Levon Brazil showed up. And I think that's why I'm a little bit more excited following yesterday's loss than I was the previous losses in the previous games leading up to yesterday, because I feel like we're putting guys in position to make plays. And I think we really learned something about some of the guys yesterday, especially in the second half. You know, we got some good young receivers, and we've been looking for these receivers really to really step up and complement T.Y. Hilton, so they really can't take him away and then just kind of stop our passing attack. But if we can get Derek Rogers and Levon Brazil going with T.Y. Hilton and Colby Fleener, I think our passing attack can really kind of jump back up to where it was when Reggie was in there. And I think our third downs will start to get better. I mean, we really struggled on third downs in the first half. I think we were 0-5, 0-6, and we did a much better job in the second half going 3-5, but we did a much better job just moving the football. And some of those drives, we didn't get the second or third downs. We were first and second down, and then we scored a touchdown. But I like what I saw. And I think that's why I'm a little more confident following yesterday's loss, because, you know, we weren't just playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, they got a little bit of help from the referees and stuff like that. We missed a field goal. So that game should have definitely been closer at halftime than what it was. It would have made it a different game in the second half with everything we were doing right.
You're talking about all the things that the Colts figured out yesterday. Another one was, when you look at the numbers, Trent Richardson got 88 yards yesterday, 20 rushing, but he had 68 receiving, and he always seems to be open on that check down for Andrew.
Yeah, and you know, a little bit was mop-up time toward the end of the game when the game was a little bit out of hand on that last drive, when we just kind of kept going check down, check down, check down, and moving the ball down the field. But I think that's something that we can really incorporate as the season goes on. I think Trent, both our running backs, Trent and Donald, I think they really show that they can catch the ball out of the backfield and make things happen. I mean, normally when you catch the ball out of the backfield, you got to make one guy miss. But if you make that guy miss, you can get a lot of yards after the catch. And I really believe that we have the guys that can make that guy miss. And if we can just, you know, maybe instead of starting a game trying to run the football, run the football, run the football, maybe we should do kind of like what we used to do, you know, use the pass to set up the run instead of trying to use the run to set up the pass, because it just seemed like, you know, we just had such a rhythm yesterday throwing the ball and using that no huddle toward the end of the game. And I really think that's your identity of this team. Just go out there, leave it all on the field, just up-tempo, up and down the field, try to get us a lead and get that defense the lead it needs to really just get after that quarterback.
All right, let's go to the pulse of the fans. These are questions that obviously a lot of folks are talking about around the water cooler today. The first one you alluded to, how could the officials miss the play on the goal line yesterday? Here's what Josh Chapman thought about it.
I mean, it is. I mean, at the same time, I mean, you get through that, make a play. I mean, you get hyped, celebrated about it. But at the same time, I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, the guys shouldn't have been down there. We should have handled our business from the beginning. But when they get in the red zone, our job is to keep them out the red zone.
And he did it. And, well, you know, the officials didn't look at the whole play, apparently. But how can you not look at it? It's kind of your job, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I totally agree with you. I mean, I kept reading the post-game comments of Jeff Triplett, and he's like, he was not touched at the goal line. Yes, but the play didn't start at the goal line. The play started 4 yards at the 4 or 5 yard line where the ball was handed off. That's when the play started. I mean, he was touched at the 4 yard line, and that's what caused him to trip. I mean, when you review a play, and it was a little different circumstances because it wasn't a coach's challenge. I mean, I'm sure if Coach Pagano would have challenged it, he would have said, I think he was touched by our nose guy right around the 4 yard line, and that's what caused him to trip. So I'm sure that's when they would have looked at that. since it was under 2 minutes and the review came from up top, they should have told him what to look at. So I really can't blame Jeff Triplett. I got to go up to the booth and really go at the instant replay people and why aren't they showing him the whole play? Why isn't he requesting the whole play to look at? I mean, you're sitting under that hood. You got a couple of the other referees with you. I mean, why not have a discussion on when you thought he got touched? We could all see on the replay from the Jumbotron, he didn't get touched at the goal line. I mean, there was nobody there. There was one Colt there, and he was getting blocked by a big offensive lineman from the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course he's not getting touched there. You got to look at where you think it occurred, and it occurred when he started to trip. And why did he start to trip? Because Josh Trapman grabbed his leg around the 3.5-4 yard line. That's when you got to look. And I'm just so surprised that they just didn't review the whole play. They just reviewed the end of the play. I mean, just so much that you could miss, and it's frustrating me because at that point it was 7-0. We would have had the ball on the 1 yard line. Yes, we. Hopefully going to halftime down 7-0. We missed a field goal early in the game. So really at halftime, it should have been 7-3. It should have been a 7-3 ball game. Okay, they come out first, the second half, they drive, go down and score. Okay, then it's 14-3. We're only down 11. We're down two scores, but you can still get back in that game because we scored two touchdowns in a matter of 4 minutes after they scored their first touchdown in the second half. So we would have taken the lead. We would have taken the lead 17-14 instead of being down 21-0 at halftime and then totally getting it to 21-14 game. So that was a huge momentum and a big play that changed that game's outlook tremendously.
Yeah, and Jim and I were talking yesterday going to halftime. The momentum that was all with the Colts suddenly was drained, and that was a key turning point. Okay, one more quick one. Why are the Colts so insistent on running the ball early in the game?
You know, teams try to – you want your team to have an identity. And the best identity to have is to be a power football team. You're going to go out there. We're going to run our plays no matter what. We're going to execute because if we execute, you can't stop us. And I have no problem with that. And I have no problem with the power running game. And I think it's something that we've shown we can do. It's been more so at the end of games when we've had to kind of seal victories. The Tennessee Titan game jumps to mind. The San Francisco 49er game jumps to mind when we took the ball at the end of the game and we ran it down their throats and they just could not stop us. Granted, I don't know why we can't do that earlier in the game. We have played some very good defenses, some very good defensive line yesterday being no exception to that. I mean, they're a very good defensive football team. I just think, you know, with the quarterback that we have, what we found out yesterday and what we have at the wide receiver position, I just think we'd be such a great football team if we used the pass to set up the run and maybe run a little bit out of the gun and do things like that. But, you know, I have no problem with what Pepe Hamilton is doing. This is his team. This is his offense. He's gotten us to an 8-5 record with all these injuries, so he's doing something right. I just think, you know, toward the end of games, we're learning things about ourselves, what we do well, what we need to work on, and I think we should just play to our strengths a little bit more than trying to create something that we're having a hard time trying to emulate.
All right, Jim will join us in the next segment as well. Stick around. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.
We're back on Colts Monday Night, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Citizens Energy Group is proud to be the Colts' conservation partner. For conservation tips, go to citizensenergygroup.com. Citizens Energy Group, we're all citizens. And are you the AAA fan of the game? For info on how you can become the fan of the game, go to AAA.com/football or visit one of our 16 Central Indiana locations. And Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light tailgate tent across the street just north of the stadium for pregame fun and $3 Bud Lights. Make the Bud Light tent your place before the game.
We now return to Citizens Energy Group's presentation of Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. From the Taco Bell studio, here again is Bob Lamy.
All right, we've got about 4 minutes to spend with Jim Sorgi. Thought we'd take some time, Jim. Yesterday, there were a lot of positives out of a semi-bad situation. Number one, the Colts did not turn the football over yesterday. There were no sacks against Andrew Luck. Obviously, he had no interceptions. He threw 4 touchdown passes. Not one of the offensive plays yesterday was a negative play. All positives, It really came to the forefront in that last drive in the fourth quarter. But all day long, we didn't hurt ourselves with turnovers. I guess maybe the only negative was we've already touched on is third downs.
Yeah, and really what you're talking about is really the formula for success. I mean, we played okay. The offensive line did well. We didn't get Andrew hit all that much. He didn't get sacked. He got hit a little bit, but not to the point where he was getting hit every time he was throwing the football. We did not turn the ball over. We didn't give him a short field. Well, we struggled. Obviously, you said it, third downs. And then when you can't convert on third downs, your defense is on the field a lot. I think they had the ball 16 more minutes than we did. That's a whole quarter and 1 minute more that they had the ball that we did not have the ball. And they were able to sustain drives. And what was disappointing, on the defensive side of the ball, we didn't create any turnovers. We didn't get any sacks on Andy Dalton, which was surprising. They were able to consistently get third downs. I think they converted 50%. They were able to move the football. And what was tough is we do a really good job on first down. We get negative play or they get a penalty. And it'd be second and 12 or first and 15. And we do a good job on first and second down. And then we give up a big play to the point where they would get a first down. And that part is draining. I mean, when you work your butt off on first and second down, I called it the money down yesterday, you get your payoff on third down. That's when you get your payoff. You're able to pin your heels back and go after them and get after the quarterback and get your sacks. We were not able to get there yesterday. They were able to throw screens, they were able to throw pass plays and get big plays. And I don't know the exact number of big plays they had, but they definitely had more than we had. And they were able to sustain drives and get big touchdowns, a big touchdown pass to Marvin Jones. And that was the difference in the ball game. We didn't force any turnovers. We didn't give up the ball, but we didn't get the ball. We didn't give up sacks, but we didn't get sacks. We didn't convert on third downs. They did. They controlled the clock, and they were able to put the ball in the end zone and score touchdowns.
Jimmy, all of the things we're talking about that happened wrong, we can correct. You got three games left. You're in the playoffs. That pressure is off. Now you've got to, get yourself ready to play Houston in the next minute. What do you expect from Houston? They've lost 11 straight. They've never won here, and they got a new coach.
Well, I saw the press conference with their owner saying, and their GM, we got three games to evaluate. And they're evaluating guys. And they already let go of their coach. I wouldn't be surprised if they, do a whole sweep of things and get some new faces, new coaches in there. So guys have three games to really prove themselves. So sometimes worse than playing a really good team that's got a really good record is playing a really bad team with a really bad record where the guys are trying to prove they still belong in this league. I mean, I'd rather play a team that's 11-2 feeling pretty good about themselves than a team that's 2-10 playing for pride and playing for a job next year. So you're going to get their best shot. I mean, this is the same team that had us down 18 points with 5 minutes left in the third quarter. So we cannot take them lightly. It's definitely a game we want to win. We got to win some of these games. We got to win at least two out of three. Put us in a position to hopefully get that number three seed. So because it looks like the Kansas City Chiefs, we talked about it yesterday, is going to get that five seed. And I just do. They're a scary football team, and I'd rather not see them in the first round of the playoffs. I'd rather get the sixth seed, a team that's limping in a little bit at home that I feel like we can beat. But you got to take care of your business against Houston and Jacksonville for sure, and we'll see where we stand with some another great team in this league and the Kansas City Chiefs sandwiched in between there. But don't take this team lightly. This is a team that these guys are getting paid. They're playing for pride, and their owner's saying we're evaluating guys right now, and if they want to be on that team next year, they better show up, and I'm sure they're going to show up against us.
Jim, thanks as always for the time. And we'll see you Wednesday, and then we'll see you next week at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, that's Jim Sorgi, and he was with us via the Verizon hotline. We'd also like to thank the Subway folks for donating prizes for the Colts giveaway packages given away at the beginning of the show. Houston in town, 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Hope to see you there. And that's Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.